Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's always cold out there.
Jesus Christ, you fucked it up. It's cold out there every day. It's all good. What are we doing?
We're starting again.
Oh, okay.
We can edit.
Oh.
This will be our first edit.
All right.
First for the new year.
All right.
Maybe I'll edit this, maybe I won't, but let's try and get it right.
All right.
It's cold out there every day?
It's cold out there every day.
Okay.
And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there every day.
Hey, everyone. Episode 80.
80.
Yes. So, how's your week, Scott?
My week was good.
Wasn't weak.
It was not a weak week.
Good, good.
It was not necessarily a strong week.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a week.
Okay.
I'm now trying to think what I did.
Well, I can go through mine. Mine's pretty simple.
Yeah.
So, on Thursday, which would be the first, I drove up to Bellingham to talk to Don Early a little bit about the Demon Hunters projects that we're working on, and basically talked about potentially doing shorts instead of just jumping right into anything else. Like, you know, actually maybe doing some Demon Hunter shorts, getting the story going. Right now, the only real thing you have going for you is the webcomic and the game night, which we missed tonight, by the way. And
it got canceled.
It got canceled? Okay.
Yeah. Turned into something else.
But right.
A lot of people had to.
Yeah, it got turned into, I think, a construction for adventures. Like, you go and Don talked about kind of how to. I mean, he's probably talking right now, for all I know. But I had to deal with some... We had to swap our car out. And so I didn't actually get out of work until almost 7. Rushed home. Had to do dinner with Aaron. We had a pot roast. It was awesome. Oh, and we watched... are you ready for this? We watched Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special.
What?
It is insanity.
Wow.
But it has Charo. It's close.
Whatever.
Close.
Yeah.
It's, I think it was weird because Charo gets on and they're singing Feliz Navidad, right? And they're talking about kids in Mexico, but Charo's Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
She's not Mexican. She's Spanish.
Right.
You can tell by her Madrid lisp, only she's not from Madrid. I think she's from like Marisa or something like that. Spain. So... Maybe I'm related to her. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. So, it was weird. There were weird people on it. I mean, obviously, Cowboy Curtis is Lawrence Fishburne, and that's cool in its own right. But, I mean, Annette Funicello was guest starring, and Frankie Avalon. So, it was all Back to the Beach and shit like
that.
You had Oprah Winfrey. Dinah Shore, who I thought was Jewish. So that was interesting, but she was singing 12 Days of Christmas.
A lot of the Jewish Hollywood types sang paganistic Christmas songs.
All right, gotcha.
So she could still be Jewish.
And then, that's true. And then one of my favorites, Grace Jones, out of nowhere.
What?
I know. Singing Little Drummer Boy, which is kind of funny because Bing Crosby and David Bowie sang Little Drummer Boy on Bing Crosby's Christmas special, and I'm pretty sure Grace Jones and David Bowie banged, or at least were involved in some way.
I believe that is correct.
So, she was wearing a fucking piece of foam that just had a cut in it as a hat. Like, you'd have to see it. I can't even explain it. It was messed up.
It sounds worth watching, though.
No!
No?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
But no!
Just for the spectacle. Maybe with the sound off.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. No. Watch it with the sound on. You got to watch it. It's crazy as shit. So that was tonight. Sunday, I did some voice work for Imagos Films. I can't talk about the project yet, but there are some photos of it floating around, and it's got a code name like all their stuff does. And he tagged Adult Swim, so I'll say that much. But really fun, a lot of fun. Liking the voice work thing. Might try to do more. Mm-hmm. So, and that's about it. Oh, I played some Tomb Raider multiplayer. With my son, and that was fun. Didn't expect it to be good. Very good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Good.
So what about your week?
Okay, I finally remember my week.
Yay.
Because I looked it at my calendar.
Yay.
On Monday of last week, I went to an acting workshop.
Mm-hmm.
That some folks were gracious enough to allow me to attend. Thanks to Frank, Devielle, and Lisa for asking me to come and sit in on that. The gentleman's name was Jack Plotnick, and he's an acting coach down in L.A., working actor. And it was really funny to... I won't say I was skeptical, but I'm leery about... the title was The Secrets to Booking Work That No One Is Telling You. Now, I'm still not sure that we covered that in the two-hour seminar that I was in.
Ouch.
But we covered some cool things, and he echoed in different ways a lot of my philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like 4 pages in my notebook of notes for my acting class that will start being incorporated in things.
Good, yeah.
And then, on that note, I might start teaching at Shoreline.
Oh, really cool.
At least for a little bit, and then that would get me into the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Of the community colleges in the area.
Right.
That would then allow me to go into others. Mm-hmm. And teach. But that was a foreshadowing of something else that I did this weekend. But I was talking to Tony Dupe about that, and he mm-hmm. was like, yeah, definitely, we need to talk. So
yeah,
we're going to sit down and chat about.
Would that be related to Chris Bousted's class at all?
No.
Nope. Okay.
I would be teaching an acting class.
Filming class, an acting class.
Correct. Gotcha. Yeah. And Tony does a lot of the acting and film work classes there too. But mm-hmm. I think I teach something that he doesn't, and so we could figure it out. But
right.
And then I think I had a good time. Oh yeah. Tuesday
mm-hmm.
Was just hangout day. Wednesday was going to be a clean the studio day.
well,
as we can see, that didn't happen.
Well,
then went out to a fun New Year's Eve party.
Woo!
And that was really cool. So that would be Wednesday mm-hmm. night. Thursday was recovering from Wednesday night. Doing some more just lazy bone stuff, and then went over to a friend's birthday is on the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I thought mine was bad on the 17th of December. 1st of January, that's a toughie.
Yeah, having a birthday when everyone's always hungover, that's got to suck.
Yeah. So they had like a noon to midnight event, drop by when you can. So I went towards the evening. Mm-hmm. And played, I can't remember what we played. It wasn't Cards Against Humanity for the first time. It was something like a balderdash, but they ask you questions like, here's a famous Portuguese saying.
Mm-hmm.
When you have too much rice, you come up with whatever the phrase is.
Gotcha.
The person writes down what the actual phrase is. Everybody turns it in, and then you vote. And if people vote for your end of the phrase, mm-hmm. you get so many points. So it was a lot of fun. I can't remember the name of the thing. I think it was two words, outlash and something or other. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was fun. And then I had to leave that early because I was shooting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday
Woo!
For a feature film called Lemonheads.
Nice.
Which Tony DuPay's son, Dawson, his friend Todd, and possibly Tony's other son wrote. I can't honestly remember.
So is this related to the candy or the 90s band or neither?
Neither.
Okay.
It's related to heroin and drug addicts.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yet, in the scenes, I was... or the location of where my character hung out...
Yeah.
There are some Lemonhead candies that I believe come into play, but it's only... they're sitting on the table. I think they figured out a way to incorporate it somehow, but it's not really spoken.
Right.
So, poster looks badass. Nice. It's already up on IMDb.
Did you have to supply your own heroin, or did they give that to you?
No, they provided that.
Oh, good, good.
Not much else, as, I mean, really.
You, you had to have your own kit, but they provided the junk.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct. Okay. And a lot of pillows to just pass out.
Ooh.
And there were...
sounds fun.
It was a heroin house slash whorehouse.
Heroin.
So...
a heroin house.
It was a heroin house, yes.
Nice.
And that's it until today. I worked on some web stuff.
Nice.
We'll be editing a friend's acting reel tomorrow.
Whoop.
And received my birthday gift from Andy Dobrowski today.
Whoop.
Which was a bottle of Lagavulin.
Yep, Lagavulin.
16.
Because it's the name I recognize.
Yeah.
Because you say it.
Because it's the scotch I like a lot.
I was just going to get you a bottle of rubbing alcohol and like throw some bark in there. Call it good.
Yeah,
right. Lagavulin. But get blue labeled alcohol so it looks really fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lagavulin 1.
Oh, God.
This tastes like hickory ish.
It tastes peaty. Well, the guy's name was Pete. I don't. So that's awesome. Not really a lot of other news for us, I think, because the year's just starting.
Yep.
We've got a bunch of questions, and I think that unless you have anything else, maybe we should jump into those.
No, other than the upcoming schedule, maybe just to...
yeah, let's go with that.
In case we forget again.
Because we have a... yeah, it's going to be a rocky January.
Yeah, so. January's going to be a little messed up. So I am getting to go again on a little me time vacation, which is awesome, because I don't usually get that. So, unfortunately, I was an idiot and booked the tickets for Sunday to Sunday.
Well, that's fine.
Next Saturday, we will be pre-recording.
Yes, so don't tell... yeah, we will tell you stories from the past by about a day.
Right.
Because we won't have any knowledge of Sunday in the podcast.
Right, but hopefully... we will have knowledge of the Seahawks' victory. Wait, I'll get back to that in a minute, because that's the other thing that I did this weekend.
Oh, okay.
While waiting to shoot.
While waiting to shoot.
I just want to give everyone the lowdown on the Cowboys' questionable win. But that put us in a good position to play the Carolina Panthers, who got their asses kicked but won their playoff game.
I want to bring up the one football story I have real quick, because all of my football stories are internet-related. So shortly after the Dallas win, this graphic was going around, and it was really funny. It's a guy who apparently got Detroit Lions 2015 Super Bowl champs tattooed on his leg. So that happened. I assume there's no way the Detroit Lions can go any further at this point. My assumption, but based on the comments and jeers and hilarity surrounding this image, is that the Detroit Lions are now
out of the playoff hunt.
Yes. They have been a... they've wicketing? They wicketed? Did they wicket? Spiked? Were they...
they were just eliminated.
Downslotted?
They lost.
They lost.
They lost.
They've had their robins rounded.
Yes. Although, although there was a pass interference call that would have moved the Lions forward.
Okay.
They were, I believe at that point, ahead in the game and driving to at least score another field goal, which would be 3 points, or touchdown for 7. if they made the point after.
I was going to say, touchdown for... I don't know much, but I know...
Touchdown six, point after seven.
Seven. Touchback two.
Touchback two. And there were at least one of those. Is. Touchback is when the ball goes back of your own end zone.
Okay.
And, or you're sacked in your own end zone, or it goes
And then the other
back.
Team gets 2 points for yeah. sacking you in your own little area where,
right.
where your castle would be if this were played in a way that was actually awesome.
Right, or the way that it happened in one game, they blocked a punt out of the end. So the guy tried to kick it, they blocked it, it rolled out the back of the end zone. Mm-hmm. That's a touchback.
And the other place you can get 2 points is the conversion, so you can potentially get eight points on a touchdown.
On a touchdown.
All right, 6 to 8.
6 to 8.
All right.
I'm learning.
You are, but this guy clearly interfered with the pass. No matter how you stack it up, he didn't turn around to look at the ball. He fell into the guy. The ball hit him in the back of the jersey, and in an earlier shot, for at least 3 strides, had a hold of the opponent's jersey in his hand. They threw the flag for pass interference. Detroit was like, "Yeah, of course they're playing in Dallas," so Dallas is like, "Boo!" And I'm like, "Well, there goes that." And they ended up what is called picking up the flag or saying, "Oh no, I threw that in error," which almost never happens. So even during the game, everyone is screaming, "You've got to be kidding me." And I was watching some of the sports programs this afternoon after helping Damon Vanhee move into his new West Seattle home.
Yeah, he didn't call us. He was supposed to call us.
A mile from here. Oh, he had plenty of help.
Okay.
Which was just... is less than a mile from here. We make it's the perfect West Seattle trifecta triangle.
It's on Thistle and Delridge, is my understanding.
18th Orchard Delridge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. But, Orchard and Delridge. Oh, that's... Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
And so it was with the sound off when I was watching, and I was reading the little closed caption things. And so the Cowboys won.
Okay.
Which is good because we're playing the Carolina Panthers instead of... playing the Detroit Lions, who have a really good defensive line. Our offensive line is awesome, but we're down a couple guys for injuries.
Okay.
So it would not have been as well matched.
I like and the fact... This podcast is turning into a sports podcast.
It is.
I just want to bring that up.
I know, because I'm really excited, because I actually paid attention to other teams other than the Seahawks. And the fact that, who in the hell did the Panthers play?
Nobody cares.
Oh, Arizona. Yeah.
Okay.
Duh. They beat the living shit out of Cam Chancellor, who is their quarterback.
Arizona's the Falcons, right?
Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons. They start with an A.
But there are a lot of birds. A lot of birds.
Isn't there a baseball team called the Cardinals?
Yes. That's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Aren't there a bunch of pedophiles called the Cardinals?
That would be the Catholic Cardinals.
Fuck. Okay. Go on.
So, anyway, I think we're getting the right team to play. it's just, you know, Brophy's holding on for another week. He sent me a text, "Great win." And I was like, "Really? Great? You're picking great?" I think it was a win. Yes, technically, they had more points, however you want to stack it. But, yeah, there was some horrible officiating in many of the games that I watched this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, the last... Here's... To give you an idea of the last time I actually watched a football game, it was the football game where the ref got hit in the eye. Or no, it wasn't the ref. It was a player got hit in the eye with the yellow thing full of pennies. And they changed... They basically made a rule that they couldn't be full of pennies, and they had to find... I think they do plastic BBs now in the flags.
In the flags. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I watched the game where the dude... lost sight in his eye because he got hit in the eye with a flag. And that's the last time I watched football.
I swear that you watched a Seahawks game with me.
No. I was next to you while a Seahawks game was on.
Ah, okay.
There's a difference.
Yes, there is. Substantial.
You must be fun to have sex with. No, we weren't. That was not us. That was you watching that game.
Sitting next to you doing something else.
Yes.
Okay.
I was reading Gatsby.
Gotcha.
Nobody's reading Gatsby.
So we'll be pre-recording next Sunday, which will be out on time on Sunday.
Yes.
And the following week, we'll be doing what we're doing this week.
Right.
Which is doing a Monday after show.
Yes. So tune in next, well, I mean, I guess you could, you'll probably get it early next week. It'll probably go up early. Do we have a way to schedule it? Or were you just going to make everything go live?
I was just going to log in and...
Oh, okay. Well, you'll get it on time next week and then late the following week. Perfect.
Or we could do it early.
I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't care.
Maybe Seth would be happy.
We'll
let people...
We could upload it and give Seth the link so he could get a jump on the link mastering. That would be nice of us, because we'd never do that.
No.
So. He got a reprieve last night, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kathy's happy. Thank you for the
Christmas
card. Or
Kathy's sitting next to him while he's happy. Yes, thank you for the Christmas card as well. Seth, Kathy, and Freya. It's Freya, right?
Yes.
Sent us original artwork.
Yes.
From Freya, each of us individually, as a Christmas card, or a New Year's card. Mine was New Year's.
Mine was a
holiday.
Happy belated holidays.
Yeah.
Card.
I think that's what mine
but
was.
But yeah, Happy New Year,
But it was cool. I got this cool little like foresty scene. It was neat.
Nice.
Yeah. So thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
We didn't send you anything, and we're not gonna. Because we're
other
very,
than our thanks.
We're very lazy.
Which are worth way more than an original piece of artwork. No.
Oh, that's
not really.
That's what I did last week. I gave up that Android like fucking right away and went back to my Windows phone.
And how you doing?
Much better now.
Yeah.
Much better. I sent the OnePlus to my brother,
mm-hmm.
who has never had a smartphone before. So, you know, whatever. Have fun. And he doesn't have an option to have a lot of carriers. He's going to be on one of those like
Metro
PCs. Yeah, like one of the breakout carriers. Mm-hmm. So it has to be an AT&T style phone, has to be unlocked. And he doesn't want, he wants something that has apps. So,
yep.
There you go. OnePlus. Here you go. Have it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it is pretty.
It's a very nice piece of hardware. If I had to do a non-Windows phone, it would be my phone of choice.
Yeah.
I've played with a lot of phones. I've played with a lot of devices because it's what I do for a living. Hopefully not for too long. But it was very well constructed,
mm-hmm.
very pretty, very impressive spec-wise, very fast, very zippy. I hated Android. I hated it. I couldn't. Well, and the camera was, I mean, it was seriously like bumping down 5 years from what I'm used to for camera phone cameras. Yeah. I am now used to something that feels like it's 5 years newer than every other phone except for probably the iPhone 6.
Mm.
So. And I don't want an iPhone.
No.
All right, let's get to questions.
Okay. Seth Davis. Speaking of Seth Davis.
We were.
He has the first question. Would you consider launching Glass Cannons as a radio/podcast drama?
No.
Nope.
I would not. Thank you for asking, and I appreciate it. And I get, you know, I get the whole concept of getting some stuff made. We do have a ton of scripts that we can potentially do... work with for radio for a podcast. Glass Cannons is not one. That is absolutely positively something I want on film.
Yes, and we do though want to start doing outside of Dead FM.
Yes,
some sketch type stuff that we can put up on Two Bards that may not it won't be with any regularity.
Right,
but once we get the site revamped
as a regular,
we'll be able
joke.
To have it. It was.
It wasn't a very good one.
No, it was not enough fiber.
Oh,
What
would that be?
There you go. But we'll have those for consumption on the website and as an infrequent podcastable type.
Right. And I absolutely plan on having both sketches that are filmed. Mm-hmm. And sketches that are audio only for Two Bards moving forward. We're trying, obviously, to... we want Dead FM to hit a critical mass. We want Dead FM to get listeners. Frankly, we want Dead FM to get to the point where they might either get a sponsor or get some money coming in so that we can get more people involved because SAG, go fig, causes a lot of problems in indie productions in small places like this where... You know, it's just, I totally believe in the unions. I love unions. When you're in an area, though, that is not a unionized area for the most part, being in a union puts you at a disadvantage and it puts people who want to work with you at a disadvantage. So two options are get everybody union, which would be, that'd be great. Everybody could like go and, you know, if they have blood in their pee, they can get that shit fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other option is us fucking scabs.
Right. And the big problem, people will be going, well, why is SAG interfering with audio stuff?
That's and they wouldn't have.
They wouldn't have. But SAG and AFTRA, the American...
Film and Television.
Film to AFTRA. Film,
Television, no, Radio.
Not film. Television, radio. But I don't... American Federation, AFT. American Federation of Television, Radio... Association or
whatever.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it encompasses everything. So if you do anything...
At all that gets distributed.
At all that's distributable or can think of being distributable,
yeah,
as your likeness or vocals, you're screwed because it'll be union.
And the problem is, so podcasts are a weird, wonky sort of middle of the, like they're in the ether. A podcast that doesn't make money, like all of these podcasts don't, should be immune from mm-hmm. the SAG-AFTRA rules. However, if the podcast makes money in the future, they can take action on the past. And additionally, it's such a gray area that nobody can answer the fucking question.
Right.
At SAG-AFTRA, we've called.
Yeah.
And you call five times, you get five answers. So everyone wants to play it as safe as possible. So yeah. Being able to pay people, and it's not much, it's a tiny, tiny amount, but just being able to pay people that amount, get everything on the board, do the paperwork, which is the real mm-hmm. pain in the ass. You know, it's a lot of work. So we want Dead FM to hit critical mass where they don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
Where either through monthly donations or contributions or whatever the fuck you want to call them, they're able to bring like Shimkus, the Shimkai on easily without Matt potentially putting himself in a position where SAG's going to come after, or SAG-AFTRA. Let me add the after, because the after is the issue.
Right.
Where SAG-AFTRA can come after him. Because as an actor, as a union member, you can get fucked if you do outside of union work.
Right, but that's doing a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Shimkus could come on here. We will probably always, Two Bards podcast, be able to have anybody at any time,
yes,
whether we make money or not.
Because guests are different.
It's a live,
mm-hmm.
you are being yourself.
It's a non-fictional, non-narrative.
Those were the words I was looking
non-narrative
for.
Non-narrative is, even if our podcast made money, it doesn't matter because we are non-narrative.
Right.
So we allow people to come on, promote themselves, do all that jazz. We don't have to worry about SAG-AFTRA. But doing sketches, which is what, frankly, let's be honest, that's the Dead FM bread and butter right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be able to get those people into a position where the union can't come after them and everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. Rob McLennan writes, as fans of Simon Pegg, apparently
yes.
we've talked about Simon a bit, are you looking forward to the movie Absolutely Anything, which is also starring Robin Williams, Kate Beckinsale, Joanna Lumley, and directed by Terry Jones?
Of course, absolutely.
I knew nothing about it until you said that.
I am a Terry Jones.
Or asked that question, not said that, but asked the question, and yes, I am absolutely ready for anything, including Absolutely Anything.
Absolutely. I like Terry Jones.
Yeah.
His direction... I think he was primary director on Life of Brian.
A lot of the Monty Python stuff.
He did most of Meaning of Life, except for Terry Gilliam's in fucking sane $25 million intro or whatever it was. So,
and I want to see Terry Gilliam's new film.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, so desperately.
They're turning 12 Monkeys into a TV show.
I know, on Sci-Fi.
I'm 50-50. I was like 70-30, maybe 70-20 with 10 kind of just hanging out somewhere. But I was like, yeah, I could see that. And then it kind of, you know, sunk in a little bit. And I'm like, I'm 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm solidly 50-50 now. The 10% came back. We split everything. The other half got the cat, whatever. Yeah. It happens.
Okay. I was going to... Yeah. Done. Okay. Yeah, I was going to go down a path I don't want to go down anymore.
A darker path?
A darker path.
Womp womp.
Rob McLennan also asks,
you're a chatty specifically one, Rob.
For me, Scott, have you ever ridden a bike other than a Harley? And then he goes on to add, I could have made a touring modified Kawasaki ER6 and available to you for a few hours when you were up in Guelph. Well, A, that would have been fun. I have not been on a Kawasaki. I have ridden other bikes. I started with a Huffy with a banana seat.
Womp, womp.
I moved up to a Centurion Accordo 18-speed touring bike. And then I had a Yamaha 650 Special 2. That was my first motorcycle. 1981 motorcycle, purchased in 1991, I believe. And that was a fun little bike for a while. Then I got a 98 Heritage Classic Softail Creamsicle Factory Paint Harley. Had that for 4 months. Some drunk fuckhead rear-ended me and totaled the bike. I walked away, but totaled my dream bike, and then I ended up getting the bike that I have now that most people have seen in Darkness Rising. That is my Harley.
Yep.
And I had a friend who recommended a fan of the series who actually lived in Beacon Hill area, was a certified Harley mechanic, who was happy to help me get the bike fixed.
I remember that night.
And so that got all detailed out and a bunch of stuff upgraded on it. And I am looking forward to getting on that again this summer and then possibly trying to parlay that into a more cruiser-friendly Harley-Davidson.
Nice.
I was also going to say that, hey, well, there might be, can't really talk about it, but a potential of being able to take you up on the Kawasaki ER6N at some time in the nearish sort of future, but that future is now very cloudy, whereas it was clearer a while ago, and I will just leave it where that lies.
We hope for that to happen. Even if nothing else happens around it, I wouldn't mind going back. I would go back to visit in a heartbeat.
I would go back to visit for a motorcycle ride and some poutine.
Poutine at the works, baby!
And now I'm just thinking about a hamburger with peanut butter on it.
God damn, I'm just thinking about a bucket of fucking poutine. I am a simple person.
I'm too. Yeah. Peanut butter and a hamburger, though, dude. That was...
And poutine! Put the poutine on the peanut butter burger! We can try this! Let's make that happen! We'll die!
But
we'll die happy!
We'll die happy! We will get our wings like nobody's business.
Indeed.
Paula Moran writes in with a really good question that I wasn't, again, necessarily aware of. But now that I think about it, I kind of was. What is your opinion on Disney no longer producing hand-drawn animated movies?
Well, first of all, hand-drawn and 2D are two different things.
Correct.
Most of Lion King was not hand-drawn. It was keyframes were drawn, and then computer-generated 2D animation was used. Now, they did do the animatics hand-drawn and things like that, but much of it was done in a computer, and it has been... Like, I think Princess and the Frog was fully animated inside of a computer. Like, it was hand-drawn... In that it was, they digitized the initial character drawings hand drawn, but
I think Beauty and the Beast was the first of the Disney movies to incorporate the big moves through the chandelier and
yes, was because Aladdin was before that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Aladdin had the thing through the cavern, the carpet ride. That was all computer. There were some computer effects in Little Mermaid. They weren't huge, but like the boat and stuff, they did some computer work in Little Mermaid as well.
But it wasn't as grand as coming down through the chandelier.
Correct. I would argue
the reflective surfaces.
Yeah, and... yeah. I would argue the first good-looking
yeah.
computer additions, computer augmentations, were Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
because Aladdin is showing its age. It looks pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it looks pretty terrible. I'm trying to... It's bad. However, they did do a lot of 3D, 2D mapping, where where they did do 2D cells, and then they would put them on into the computer on 3D planes and move the sprites, essentially, the characters, and do some 3D craziness there. But that wasn't... It's not the same as like a render, and it's not the same as hand-drawn, so it was this kind of in-between thing. I'm thinking of Aladdin for that, too, so... Beauty and the Beast, though, all of that stuff was fairly mapped out with a computer, and they did the render first and animated on top of it. So
I think it helps to deliver projects more quickly, although they seem to be taking longer because they're trying to do more.
Right.
I personally like, much like we've talked about, film, seeing something shot on 35 millimeter film looking so much different than digital.
Right.
I will still say, hands down, Robin Hood, Jungle Book. I'm not a big fan of Fantasia, Cinderella, all that stuff, but Jungle Book.
You can shut your mouth about Fantasia.
I know. Jungle Book, even Snow White, Bambi, Robin Hood, those are amazing, and it's an art form that
he won't say it, but he also means Song of the South.
Oh, I definitely mean Song of the South. I don't give a shit how no longer politically correct and untimely it is. I like the Uncle Remus stories. Just make them not racist, and they're still good stories.
You know what's funny is Fantasia's actually, I think, more racist.
Yeah.
They cut the scene, but holy shit.
Yeah.
There's a scene in Fantasia with the centaurs. Fucking A. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I love 2D animation for sure.
Yep.
I love 3D animation.
Oh yeah.
I think 3D animation is more marketable. They can reuse a lot of the assets from the animation itself, hand those over, downscale them, downsample them, put them in video games, print fucking poly, you know, PVC molds off of them and all that shit. It's really easy to monetize 3D animation because you build the assets and you build them for the entire monetization chain.
Yeah.
I am saddened that Disney has... Well, okay. I think Disney's going the way of New Coke with this. I think that they've announced no more 2D animation. I think in 5 to 10 years... you will see, oh, we've gone back to the basics, and it'll be like a big thing, and it'll be a big media thing.
Yeah.
And they'll have their first 2D animated movie in 10 years from the Walt Disney Studios. So I see that happening.
And I think a lot of hand-drawn is going to be... it's unfortunately that Disney's not doing it because they made a lot of really cool artists' careers.
Yep.
Out of that collective and that, I mean, I've seen a couple documentaries about the animators in that time and how it was very much like Lucas, you know, with ILM, and I want to do this, but I don't know how I'm going to forge ahead, and just the creative melting pot that they had of people that doesn't necessarily seem to exist anymore.
Yeah, Disney was kind of they didn't have a melting pot. They were manimators. They were white manimators, like, for the longest time. And that was the same with Warner Brothers too. You had to be white because it was fucking the US back in before the 60s. And they had a male only policy for their animators. For a long time, Warner Brothers did. I don't know about Walter Lantz and that group. That's right? Walter Lantz, Woody Woodpecker. And all of then the Harvey Toons. I have no idea about any of those, but I know that Warner Brothers and Disney were men only. And a lot of very, very talented female artists couldn't get in. So there's, I mean, anything, if you dig back far enough, it's terrible. Like anything. You dig back far enough, it's going to be terrible. So I don't celebrate the heritage of it as much as I celebrate the art. The art itself stands alone and is, it is sad to see it go. And I'm sure that, like I said, first of all, you're going to have a bunch of indie houses resurrecting it, doing cool stuff. Already, if you go on like Vimeo or even like Indiegogo / Kickstarter and look for animation, you'll find these amazing 2D animated pieces that are just wonderful. We're talking like they really capture that feel. So France is doing a lot of 2D. Like France has always been huge in animation. France is enormous.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, Astro Boy from Japan, right? Astro Boy, it's anime, not because it's short for animation, but because anime is what the French called their cartoons back then. Mm-hmm. And it was a French influence, and all of the French styles, the Tintin and all that stuff, that was all heavily influencing Japan. And France has always just had a Triplets of Belleville is like a new one that's awesome. The Illusionist, like, this is just, or is the Illusionist right? The Grand Illusion? That is great, great animation coming out of France. So 2D is still alive. It sucks that Disney has said no.
Mm-hmm.
Their last 2D film didn't do well.
Yeah.
That was The Frog Princess, right?
Tangled.
Tangled wasn't 2D. Tangled was rendered 3D.
Oh, okay.
In fact, the model for the princess for Tangled is in Frozen. And, I mean, it's more than that. They've admitted it is the princess from Tangled. And they might be cousins. So, really crazy. There's like a really crazy connection between Frozen and Tangled, by the way. And the Little Mermaid might be involved some way.
Huh.
Like, potentially the ship that sank might be the parents' ship, which is really fucking depressing. Because Ariel's sitting there blowing on, you know, Elsa's dad's pipe. Kind of makes it sad, you know?
Makes it something.
Yeah, the last 2D Disney animation that I was just in love with was Emperor's New Groove. I mean, that really is the last one I was just absolutely in love with. And so, yeah.
Hercules.
I didn't care for Hercules that much.
Oh, I liked Hercules.
And I think that was before Emperor's New Groove anyway. I like James Wood.
Mm-hmm. Woods.
Jimmy Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy from the Block. He was great as Hades, but... Yeah, Hercules, I could take or leave. I liked the muses though; they were cool.
Yeah,
they were really awesome. Worried they were going to tell me to avoid waterfalls though, so it's not Destiny's Child. They're not the same people.
Or go to sleep, little baby.
Yeah. Next question. Now we're depressed.
Dennis Nickel writes, you guys have a good kickoff to your new year?
Well, we kind of covered that, Dennis. Jesus.
Catch up.
Yeah, you know we do a weekly recap. You listen. You know that's how we do it.
So, yeah, if you're still listening, Dennis, had a good New Year's Eve, which led to a very slow New Year's. And then the next 3 days, we're doing what I love. So, yeah, kicked off pretty well.
I got to actually make money doing something I want to do, and so that was also very well. Also, Dennis, your lovely, wonderful wife, my cousin, helped bring a new couch to our house, which was awesome.
Sweet.
And we got rid of that saggy, dopey, fucking half-futon piece of crap that we've had for years.
The black one?
The brown one. Yeah, we got rid of that.
Now I wish I would have known. I would have gotten rid of your other old one that I still have and taken the smaller.
Well, it's been broken since the day we got it.
Oh.
You have to put a board in it. Otherwise, the futon part falls into the storage.
Oh.
And it feels like shit, and it's, I don't know. I wouldn't have put that even on.
I just need a less...
A less couch.
That one downstairs is like 9 foot long.
That is a big fucking
couch.
It's
a big fucking couch, and it's awesome, but it's a... big fucking couch.
I don't even remember where we got that couch. Because that one actually came up with us from Idaho.
Oh, wow.
We had that one... I mean, I think I've had that couch since 2007. Came up from Idaho. In 2009, 2010, it came to live with you.
Mm-hmm.
From our old place in Bellevue. Or in Factoria.
Mm-hmm.
So because we moved into that teeny tiny apartment.
Yeah.
So it's weird because it's like it hasn't lost much shape, but it is the most uncomfortable fucking couch. It looks comfortable. It starts comfortable.
Yeah.
But then fuck, man.
If you're laying down,
it eats your back.
It's great. But outside of that, it's...
Yeah.
It just... You sink into it and you don't want to move. And then moss grows. And you Rip Van Winkle in that shit.
You ever see the Stephen Wright comedy special where he Rip Van Winkles? I don't know why I'm thinking about it. But he basically starts with him getting up and taking a beard off. And then walking out onto stage, doing his bit. Coming back, cheating at chess with someone else who's asleep. Going back to sleep, the guy wakes up, sees he cheated, and hits him. Like that's
I have not seen that.
Those are just the bits around the actual comedy special. The comedy special is great. It always is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, tinsel is snake mirrors, and snakes don't have arms. That's why they don't wear vests. You know, he likes to go to the museum and name the unnamed paintings. Boy with bucket, giraffe on fire. You know, it's funny.
Yes,
because you also like, oh yeah, I know which painting he's talking about.
Yeah,
so that's fun. Yeah. So my new year was good as well. Hoping for much, much more awesomeness as the year progresses. Definitely excited already based on the prospects that have come up in the very, very recent past. Yesterday. So. Yeah, I'm excited for this year.
Cool.
Yep. That's all I've got.
Me too.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
And you want to come by and wish us a Happy New Year.
Please do so.
And tell us why that's stupid in a cosmic sense, because it doesn't really signify anything.
And tell me where I am on the cosmic... Oh, what did he say on the cosmos? On the cosmic calendar.
Mm.
How we're doing on the cosmic calendar with 2015. Because I know it's changed an awful lot on the cosmic calendar from 2014. And so I want to embrace all of that change that has happened in the last 365 days.
So please come on our podcast and let's just down on Interstellar and make Scott cry.